So as you might have guessed, we're studying the book of Proverbs today, and you've all been enrolled in university. Welcome. You know, when I was in law school, the first day, the introduction, they had everybody look to the right and look to the left, and they said, if you look to the right and look to the left, one of you isn't going to be here in a year. You're all going to be here by the end of the weekend. You're going to survive. My prayer for this retreat is that we would gain wisdom from the Lord, not from me or the other teachers, from the Lord, from the Bible, and that the Lord would speak to you individually. I know we come here in different situations. We have different things going on. Some of you leaders are going through a really hard time right now. I'm sure of it. Some of you might be in a really good time in your lives. Maybe you're rejoicing, everything's going really well. Well, just wait. Sooner or later, you're going to need this wisdom, right? So let me find all my gear here. This is not quite going to work for me, so sorry about that. All right, if you look in your folders, you will see the course syllabus. It's really an outline page if you want to take notes on it. Okay. I've got myself in order here. Okay. Let's just go right into it. Are you guys ready? All right. Do I have to hold it down? Woo! Okay. We're just going to go right into it. All right. How do we get wisdom? James says, if we lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask the Lord for it. It isn't some secret society. You actually don't have to go to the university to get wisdom from God, right? It's just asking the Lord, and he'll give it to you. But look at this next verse, verse 6, James 1, verse 6. Let's ask in faith without doubting. Okay? So let's pray together, ask in faith for the Lord to bless this conference and to give us wisdom from him. Lord, thank you so much for bringing each one here today and for those who are still on their way. God, we pray that you would give us your wisdom to apply to our lives right where we are. We thank you that your word is truth, that you are wisdom, and that you're ready to bless us with it. Thank you for the promise that if we ask, you'll give it to us. So we're asking, Lord. We ask in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to start out in Proverbs 1. So if you don't mind turning to Proverbs 1 with me. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs is what it says. It's a collection of proverbs. And proverbs is kind of a broad term. It's more broad than what we think of as just a little proverb. It also includes other types of wisdom that are written for our edification, for our benefit. Sometimes it's sayings of wise people. Sometimes it's a trite little comment that you can apply to your life. The word for proverb here is mishlah, or something like that. If you speak Hebrew, I'm sorry for butchering it. Mishlah. It means a comparison. Well, that's a weird translation, isn't it? It doesn't mean a wise saying. It means comparison. Why is that? If you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, you'll know that a lot of it is made up of little comparison statements. This is this, but this is this. This is this, and this is this, right? Comparison. Proverbs 1:1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon. Oh, no. Oh, no, it was dangerous to give me the click. Tanya, would you mind just doing it for me? I'm sorry. She's awesome, and I can't do it. Proverbs 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So we jump right into it, and we see who's the author? Solomon. Who is Solomon? The son of David. And we also know that Solomon was the king of Israel. Solomon was the son of David and Bathsheba. You might be familiar with their history. Solomon wasn't the child that resulted from Bathsheba's and David's indiscretion, but he was the next child born to them, or a child born after that. So he comes from kind of a tumultuous family, right? The family of the king. And he became the king. God asked Solomon to build him a temple. Solomon was thrilled with this. He went about it with gusto. There's no indication in the scripture that he was prideful about it, that he said, oh, look at me, I got to build the temple for the king. No, or for the Lord. He was humbled and excited to do it. And we know that that when he did build that temple, he was blessed. He was blessed with riches and with money, with power, with all of those things. So let's just talk a little bit of the background of the structure of the book of Proverbs, okay? Proverbs, we know, was written by Solomon, but it was also written by a lot of other people too. So don't let this first verse trick you into thinking the whole book was written by Solomon. Okay, he was a very wise king, and he did write many Proverbs, and he also is credited with the book of Ecclesiastes, but he didn't write the whole book of Proverbs. There's some other authors in there that we'll see along the way. King Lemuel wrote Proverbs 31. We don't even know who he was, but he was King Lemuel, and he wrote Proverbs 31. We'll be studying that later today. The proverb, the style of poetry that we'll see here, is has many different styles to it. And like I said before, there's two verses in a row normally for a proverb, right? And let's pull up that next slide about the types of proverbs that you're going to see all weekend. Bear with me if you're not like, if you don't like this booky stuff. I'm sorry. We'll get back to some other stories and things, but the booky stuff. All right, ready. Metaphorical proverbs, synonymous parallelism is a statement that has two lines, and the first line says what it says, the second line restates the first in a little different way. The wisdom behind it is the difference. What's the difference? So here's an example, Proverbs 22:1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So the point is that we are seeking a good name. We're seeking a good reputation. That's the point of this proverb, because that's the difference. Okay? So the next part, the next type is antithetical parallelism. It means different. Antithesis. You know the word antithesis? Antithetical parallelism. Say that five times fast. It's two opposite statements. Okay? So here's an example. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Okay, there's the difference. The truth is in the difference. Do we want to be prudent and prepare for evil and prevent it? Or do we want to be simple or naive and just go right on walking into the hole, right? There's the wisdom. The next type is climactic parallelism, where one idea rises to the next, okay? Proverbs 22:2, the rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Did you get that? It's like leads to the next idea. The rich and poor have this in common, which is the Lord is the maker of them all. What's the wisdom point to that? If you're rich or if you're poor, you're subject to the Lord. Okay. And the final type is a comparison. This is the majority of the proverbs that we're going to see. A comparison is a like statement or a better than statement. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. So we're comparing something is better than something else. If we're poor, but we're righteous, we're just, that's a better thing than having tons of money and being wicked. Okay? So there's a little bit of book knowledge for you as you go through to help you pick out what is the truth behind what's being said. Okay? So if we can go to the next slide here. The next slide is a picture that I found about how Solomon got all this wisdom. We're going to talk about how we get wisdom. Solomon, after he built the temple, he was wealthy and blessed by God, and that was all right and good. But then what he did was he didn't get all prideful about it right away. He went and made burnt offerings to the Lord. He presented 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. That's a lot of beef or whatever he, 1,000? I can't even picture it. 1,000 things to the Lord. He went to sleep. And that night, I'm going to read to you what happened. On that night, God appeared to Solomon And he said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You've shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord, let your promise to David be established, for you have made me over a king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now, give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" Then God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you haven't asked for riches or wealth or honor, but for the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I'll give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after have the like." So not only did he get the wisdom that he asked for from God, but God also blessed him in prosperity. I just love this picture. Do you see that line of light going from the picture of God to the picture of Solomon? I just love that picture of how it was God giving his own wisdom to Solomon so that Solomon could share it with all of us, right? Okay, the next slide shows Solomon with the Queen of Sheba, who's come to ask him, how did he get all of this riches and wisdom? And he, of course, credited the Lord eventually, right? So that's that. Let's talk a little bit about the value of wisdom. We've talked about who wrote the book, Solomon, and who Solomon was. So let's talk about valuing wisdom. Solomon valued wisdom so much that that's what he asked for from God. What would you ask for if you could ask for one thing from God? Would it be wisdom? I don't know that I would ask for wisdom necessarily, but he valued it above all else. Proverbs 1, verses 2 to 6 says, the purpose of this book of Proverbs. Are you ready? See if you can pick out who you are in this list, pick out who you are and what the purpose is of this book, okay? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man or young person, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase his learning, and a man of understanding will obtain wise counsel to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Okay, who is this talking about? We see a wise man here. A wise man is reading Proverbs. A young person, I don't know if you picked that out, a young person. And there's also a simple person in there. So let's go through one by one here and just break this apart, okay? So we can see that the perspective here is not, do any of you have the words of Christ in red in your Bibles? Okay, was that in red? No. Okay, so the perspective here is not Jesus speaking specifically, but it's God's wisdom spoken to Solomon or some other teacher that is now being shared with us. So this is from the Lord, but this is from the perspective of the learner. We're receiving the knowledge. This isn't from the perspective of thou shalt, right? Okay, the wisdom that he talks about in verse 2, what does that mean? What does that wisdom mean? The word for that is chokmah. If you know Hebrew, I'm really sorry. Hikmah. Hikmah. Ha, ha. Okay, thank you. I'm just going to turn to you to speak them for me. All right, what does that word wisdom mean? It means the power to judge, insight into what's right and wrong, insight into what God wants for my life. It's a distinctly religious idea. It isn't wisdom like book knowledge. It's wisdom as in understanding what is right and wrong. Okay, it's more than intellectual or philosophical. It's not just being a smarty pants. Okay, I run into that. I'm a little smarty pants. It includes knowledge of all that can be known, but it's more than that. It's knowledge of what is man's highest interest, which is to glorify God. Okay, it's equivalent to the fear of the Lord. Whoa, I don't know what that means, the fear of the Lord. Okay, we're going to talk about it in a minute. Fear of the Lord. It's going to teach us what God requires of us, how God wants us to behave in different situations. It's about how to behave, teaching about justice and what's right, and it's also directed at all types of people. This isn't just directed at scholars. This is directed at, as we read, the simple, the wise, the young. So this is for all. Instruction. Amanda, can you flip back to, to know wisdom and instruction. Instruction's a little bit different. It's not the same term. Instruction means training up, like discipline. Right now, the instruction in my house is, honey, we don't eat that, okay? We have a little eight-month-old, and everything wants to go in her mouth. That's instruction. It's not about necessarily wisdom. It's just like me training her as to what's appropriate, right? Don't put the rock in your mouth. How do we get this wisdom? We've been talking a lot about what it is. How do we get it? Fear God first. Fear God first. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If this isn't highlighted in your Bible, highlight it right now. It's such an easy verse to memorize, and if you're looking for a verse to memorize, here it is. This could be said to be the main theme of the book of Proverbs, and it's definitely the main theme of my chapter. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Lord here is capitalized like that because it's Jehovah. Jehovah. It doesn't say the fear of a God or the fear of God in general. It says a fear of the Lord, Jehovah God. So specifically, the God of the Bible is the one who has this wisdom. What does the fear of the Lord mean? I confess to you, I didn't really understand what that meant, and I still really, I still have more to learn about that. If you know what the fear of the Lord means fully, I mean, the Lord bless you. But if I can explain a little bit of what I've learned about it, the fear of the Lord is reflecting of the Lord's character, his holiness, his justice, his righteousness, his position as the creator of the universe and the creator and judge of all of us. That's where that fear of the Lord comes from. And it isn't fear as in, we're afraid of God, God's gonna come get us, God's watching. It's not that fear. It's fear because we love God and we want to please him. And we fear displeasing him. And we fear his judgment as a whole, not in any specific situation, but wow, God is kind of the idea, okay? One commentator remarked that I found is that the fear of God is directly sort of polar connected with our love of God. So as much as you love God should be your fear of God, your recognition of who God is. Okay? And as big as your love of God grows, your fear of God should grow because you recognize what his position is in the universe. The Hebrews who read this initially, they didn't start with the pursuit of wisdom from a standpoint of, I don't know what's true and I'm just looking in the dark to stumble upon truth. The Hebrews that this was written to originally were, they believed in God. They believed in Jehovah God, and they understood who he was. So they were starting from that point. They were starting from the point of a relationship with God, as much as we can call it that. So when we look at the pursuit of wisdom, let's realize that the book of Proverbs assumes that the wise person is going to start with an understanding of who God is. The fools, on contrast, despise wisdom and instruction. The fools here are people who, it would say, trample on all things good. This isn't just somebody who makes a mistake once in a while. This is a committed fool, we would call it. Okay? This is someone who's godless and profane, despises the word of God. Proverbs 2:1-22 talks about if we receive these words of wisdom and we treasure the commands and apply our heart to understand them and lift up our heart, then this knowledge and understanding will come from God. So there's another support of the aspect of we're looking to Jesus himself for this wisdom. Remember that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. So if you're looking at Proverbs, if you came here today, this weekend, and you don't know Jesus, who is wisdom, Jesus is wisdom. He calls himself that. And you don't know Jesus, and you leave this retreat without asking any questions or asking the Lord who he is, you're going to leave the conference with some good tidbits, some wise sayings, maybe something you could apply to a situation you're in, but you're going to miss the point. So the point is that Jesus is wisdom, and Jesus knows each one of us, and Jesus wants to live in our heart through the Holy Spirit and guide and direct us in all wisdom and truth. Now, the Hebrews didn't know Jesus per se, but they had the prophets to reveal that coming Messiah to them. And when we talk about wisdom throughout this weekend, sometimes you might see a little glimpse of Jesus in there. Let's keep reading and see if we can find a little glimpse there. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. This is assuming we have the word instruction of your father and law of your mother. These are assuming that your father and mother are teaching you biblically sound truths, okay? This isn't somebody who is totally out in left field and telling you to do random things that are not of the Lord. Because we know that this word for law is Torah, okay? And the instruction is training in righteousness. So as we're going through this book of Proverbs, if you're a parent, maybe think about how we can apply these to our training of our children. And if you're a child, think about how you might respond to the training of your parent. Maybe you've despised it. Confession. Despised it. So see if you can just accept that wisdom. Another point, that wisdom, the training of your father and your mother, is a graceful ornament on your head and around your neck. Do you think these pearls are lovely? They're so lovely, but they're not the loveliest. The loveliest is the wisdom, okay? We know that the wisdom that we get should be from our moral character, from our love of the Lord, from our gentle and quiet spirit. So these are pearls that are going to last forever. These pearls will last, hopefully, for quite some time, but these pearls will last forever. What kind of wise are we talking about here? There's a difference between the earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Earthly wisdom, like being scholarly and all smart, maybe in the ways of the world, maybe streetwise, like you know where it's at and you know where to get it, you know? Like you know what there is to know, right? That's not the wisdom we're talking about here, okay? It's different. James 3:13 compares the wisdom of the world and the wisdom from the Lord. The wisdom from the Lord is peaceable, pure, gentle, willing to yield, not at all like the prideful sort of professors that I knew in school, right? Gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy. That's the kind of wisdom that we're striving for here, not wisdom to show off, like, I heard this proverb and it must be just for you. No, okay? Proverbs 1, 10 to 19, we're going to move on to that. It's a little comparison between sort of the wiles of the world versus the wisdom from the Lord. I'm just going to pick a few points because, you know, we don't want to go on forever here. It's an instruction. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. If they say, come on, let's go lie in wait and shed blood and lurk secretly, and for the innocent without cause, let's swallow them alive like Sheol and those who go down to the pit. We'll find precious things. We'll fill our houses. Cast your lot among us, and we'll have one purse. Don't walk in their way. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of a bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So they are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the lives of its owners. So here's a picture of the evil one, right? The evil person, the person who's motivated by greed and the worldly wisdom that we just contrasted in James. That person may invite you to come in. Here's a little tidbit. Don't follow. Don't follow, they lie in wait. What are some consequences? They are harmed, they have their life taken away, and they're lying in wait for their own blood. So let's contrast that from the next section, verses 20 to 33. Here, wisdom with a capital W, which is what we're talking about, wisdom with a capital W, is a personification. Who knows what that means? Who remembers? The teachers in the audience know what that means. Personification is a literary device that gives a person quality to an idea. So who knows about Lady Liberty? Lady Liberty, who stands at the door of our country with her thing in the air. Or Lady Justice, who's blind. Here's Lady Wisdom. Meet Lady Wisdom. Okay, Lady Wisdom with a capital W. She represents some of these qualities of wisdom that we're striving for, and we're going to see them in some of the other teachings throughout the weekend, so I'm just going to touch on it briefly because I don't want to steal anybody's thunder. Okay, wisdom is an attribute of God. She is revealed in creation. She is communicated to man. So let's read what she says. What does wisdom say? Wisdom calls aloud outside, raises her voice in the open squares, cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, simple ones, will you love your simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorners, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. In other words, repent. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. You disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock it when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind and distresses and anguish come upon you. They'll call upon me, and I will not answer. They'll seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. Whew, that's pretty harsh, right? She laughs at their destruction. Why? Because she's been calling and calling and calling. The fool lurks in the night in the streets, right? Where's wisdom? She's calling out. She's calling out to us in the street, in the byways, in the places of commerce. She's calling out. So what we need to do, it says they didn't choose. It says they didn't choose wisdom, and so I'm laughing at their calamity. Well, guess what? We have a choice to choose wisdom, to choose Jesus. We have that choice. And as awful as it is, some don't make that choice, right? They want to follow their own way and do their own thing, and it's going to lead to their calamity. But wisdom promises when we follow her that we will dwell safely and be secure without any fear of evil. This speaks to the simple, to the scorner, to the fools, all types who don't want anything to do with the Lord. And she calls at them and she says, turn, turn to me, turn to wisdom. My prayer is that we're not just going to get little points of, little pearls, so to speak, but a big necklace, right? A big necklace of salvation through this weekend. So if you have a little more questions about what does that mean? What does it mean to know the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? All of you have table leaders. Do you know who they are? Can you raise your hand if you're a table leader? All of you have table leaders. And I'm sure those of you who maybe came with somebody who invited you, you could talk to them too about it. But find them and ask them about their relationship with the Lord. Ask them about maybe how you might be able to know that true wisdom of Jesus Christ. So with that, let's pray. Let's pray. And my prayer for you is that found in Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 21, that knowledge we hope for is from God, and through the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that he will enlighten the eyes of your understanding to know what he's done for you and will do for you by the power of God. Okay, let's pray. Lord,
Thank you so much for your wisdom, Lord, in the midst of looking at different words and what their implications are in this passage. Lord, we recognize that you are the wisdom and that you're calling out to us and that you desire us to know you and to receive you. Lord, I pray through this weekend that we would come to a greater understanding of who you are. If we're already pretty wise, if we're already smarty pants, so to speak, that we would become more wise and be able to share that wisdom with others. And if we're someone who's simple or just sort of naive, Lord, that you would give us that wisdom to be able to navigate our lives. And if we're somebody who is maybe a mocker or maybe a little bit hardened to your wisdom, thinks that maybe it doesn't apply to us in our circumstance, that you would open our eyes to see that you are the creator of the universe and creator of us and our hearts, and that you certainly know the truth and what to do in any situation. So God, we pray your blessing over this conference, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to teach us, and we open our hearts and our minds to receive it. Amen.